Hi guys, this is Miss Vanessa at Huntington Valley Library. I am here with Miss Beth.
Hi.
And we are going to go ahead and read some stories to you guys. Nobody sent us any stories yet, which is totally understandable. Summer learning just started. So we are going to read to you some of our Write and Illustrate winners that we have here at the library. You can check out any of these books from the library. They are part of our collection. So if you want to see some of the pictures in these books, or if you just like these stories and want to read them again yourself, feel free to put them on hold. We will tell you the title of every story before we read it. We are going to go ahead and get started with our first one. It is called The Golden Apple. And it was written by Chloe, who was 9 years old and a fourth grader at Pine Road Elementary when she wrote this book. So here is The Golden Apple.
Once a long time ago, there was a boy named Sam. He was single and never loved anyone. He loved to go on adventures, and his favorite color was jungle green because it reminded him of his many adventures. He also liked to pretend that he was in the middle of a zombie apocalypse. Life is good, Sam always sighed when he was in his recliner. One day, when Sam was looking for the mythical hippogriff, he stumbled upon an apple orchard. It looked like it had a million trees full of a gazillion apples. Well, I guess it wouldn't hurt to check it out, Sam mumbled to himself. He had a reason to go through. He loved apples and trees, so he went through the mysterious orchard. He started going along the path, picking lots of Gala, Granny Smith, and Fuji apples. This is so boring. I need to have a little fun. So Sam started walking. Then he power walked. Soon he was running at full speed. He was running so fast he didn't see a rock and tripped onto a tree branch. After that, he was swinging on trees and running with glee. At the end of the path, in solid gold, was an apple, shining brightly. As he went to touch it, a witch suddenly appeared in front of him.
"Young man,"
she croaked,
"I will give you one chance. If you come back, you will be cursed forever."
The witch disappeared not long after she warned him. Sam rushed home to write it down in his adventure notebook. The adventure notebook was full of pictures and notes about mythical animals. Some of the animals were extinct, and others were made out of pure imagination. Anyway, every animal and thing Sam came across was written down in it. 5 years later, Sam cheekily went back to the orchard where he had found the apple. As he had done the first time, he picked lots of apples. A little too many. It had gotten the witch's attention. Then the witch started spying on Sam. She knew he was headed to the golden apple, so she quickly put a spell on the apple. Sam spotted the apple and sprinted right up to the apple. "This time I will touch the apple," he evilly smirked to himself. Sam touched the apple. Right after he did, he shrieked. His feet, legs, back, arms, and neck had turned to stone. "No!" Sam screamed. His scream could be heard from 20 miles away.
"I see you came back again,"
the witch snarled. "Let me out of this curse," Sam wailed.
"No, I won't. You will help people who pass you. Never will you be hungry or thirsty, but you will not move again."
"But," Sam stammered.
"No buts. Next time you should think before you act."
And to this very day, Sam is a talking statue that helps people who pass him.
And that was The Golden Apple by Chloe. Are you guys ready for another story? All right, our second book today is called Run the Arctic Fox. This one was written and illustrated by Alex, who wrote it when he was 9 years old and in fourth grade at Rydal Elementary School. So here is a reading of Run the Arctic Fox.
Andy, a fourth grade boy, was reading National Geography in his room. "That's pretty cool if we could go to the icy cold Arctic to visit all the animals," Andy said to his older sister, Kate, who was reading Harry Potter. She really likes magic.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool,
Kate agreed.
Maybe we should try the magic wand to help us go there.
Andy checked his book. There was a map showing the picture of the Arctic. Kate pointed the magic wand to the map. All of a sudden, they saw some sort of green light filling the room. It looked like the aurora, which appears in the North Pole. Then a strong wind blew them at the speed of light. It's impossible for them to open their eyes. Everything around them was completely dark. They felt like as if they were falling down into the black hole. When they opened their eyes, they found that everything was totally white and freezing cold there. They were both dressed up with winter clothes. Andy looked at his book and realized that they were in the Arctic. What? Where are we? Oh, we're in the Arctic. They looked around. Nobody was there. They walked and walked until something caught their eyes. A white spot was moving. Andy recognized its face. It was an Arctic fox with a round body shape, short legs, and short, fluffy ears. The fox was running alone in the snow. Wow!
What is it?
It's an Arctic fox! The fox stared at them and came close to them. They kneeled down to pet the fox's head. The kids and the fox were running and chasing with each other. They made some snowballs and planned to have a snowball fight. They were all laughing over the empty place. Just then, a net was over the fox. The fox was trapped in the net. There stood a man holding ropes in his hands. They looked at the man curiously. He had a white furry hat, wool coat, and brown boots. His eyebrows were all covered with ice. There was a knife in a leather bag hanging on his waist.
Who is he, and why is he doing that?
Andy knew immediately that this man must be a hunter who killed the animals for their fur. We need to save the fox from the hunter, said Andy. Andy whispered to Kate about his plan while the hunter was approaching to the fox. Throw snowballs at the hunter to save the fox.
That's a great plan. They are to your left.
Before the hunter could pull his knife out to stab the fox, Andy and Kate quickly picked up snowballs and threw them at the hunter. The hunter was knocked down to his knees.
I can't see!
Screamed the hunter. Andy and Kate opened the net and released the fox.
Run, fox, run!
They all ran away from the hunter before he could remove the snowballs off his eyes and stand up. They ran and ran until they met a group of Arctic foxes. The fox joined to the group. Andy and Kate felt so happy that the fox was safe now. Yes, finally! You're safe, Arctic Fox, with that group! Then they saw the green lights coming from the sky again. They walked toward the aurora. As they came closer, they felt being pulled back into the black hole. When they opened their eyes, they were home in their bedrooms. Andy and Kate opened the book and turned to the page about Arctic foxes. They saw the exact fox they met in the Arctic smiling at them.
The end. That one was Run the Arctic Fox by Alex, who was 9 years old and in fourth grade when he wrote that. And again, if you want to borrow that one and see the cool pictures, we have that here at the library for you to check out, and you can put it on hold. Our last book today is called The Prank War at Camp Firewood. This one was written by Cammie, who was age 8 and in grade 3 when she wrote it, from the Rackley Homeschool Academy. So, The Prank War at Camp Firewood. On Monday morning, the bus arrived at Camp Firewood. This Monday was a beautiful day. The camp was in the mountains surrounded by streams. Purple and yellow lilies were growing tall around every corner one looked. In the center of the campground was a green-blue lake filled with lily pads. As the campers excitedly hopped out of the bus, they could hear the frogs on the lake and the birds in the trees. Avery, Jesse, Michael, and Skylar walked with their bags to see where their cabin was. They were going to be cabin mates in the Yohio cabin for the summer.
Wow, this place looks amazing!
said Avery to the others as she looked at the mountains in the distance. Skylar looked at a rock-climbing wall with wide eyes and asked,
"I wonder what activities we will get to do."
They found their cabin. "Here it is, Cabin Yohio," said Michael. "I love how the cabins have funny state names," said Jesse. "I bet our counselor is waiting inside for us." They pushed open the cabin door but didn't find anyone inside.
That's strange. I wonder where our counselor is," said Avery.
"Whoa, guys, look at this. It's a giant bunk bed. I call the top bunk," yelled Michael.
At the far end of the cabin was the tallest bunk bed the kids had ever seen. Four beds all stacked on top of each other. This bunk bed was 17 feet tall. Michael was already halfway up the ladder.
"I'm going to unpack my Star Wars stuff first."
While the new group of friends were inside the cabin unpacking, they overheard someone talking quietly outside their door.
"Hey, quiet down. Someone is outside our door,"
whispered Skylar. Everyone got quiet and listened carefully to the grown-up talking outside.
"Yes, this is Camp Director Ryan Weirdo,"
the voice said. The kids inside the cabin giggled.
I see,"
the camp director said.
"When can they get back up here?"
2 days? This is the first week of camp. I can't live without my counselors for 2 days. All right. When the bus is fixed, send them up the mountain right away,"
the voice said sternly. A few minutes later, an announcement was heard over the loudspeaker.
"Attention all campers. This is your camp director, Ryan Weirdo. Yes, I know that's a strange name, but it's really my name. Your counselor's bus has broken down at the bottom of the mountain. Until they return, please be on your best behavior. I'll see you at dinner. Director Ryan, out."
"We can do whatever we want," yelled Michael. "Let's build a movie theater and show a Star Wars movie."
The other campers cheered. Avery stepped in and said,
"We shouldn't really do that. Let's help the camp director out and make sure everyone stays safe. We can watch Star Wars at home next week."
Meanwhile, there was a group of campers on the other side of the campground who also heard the announcement. They did not agree with Avery and came up with a plan to prank the other campers. After dinner that night, the campers walked back to their cabin. It had been a long day of driving and they were ready to sleep. The stars were big and bright and the moon was high in the sky.
"Good night, guys,"
said Avery. No one answered. Skylar, Michael, and Jesse had all climbed into their beds and were already fast asleep and snoring. A few hours later, Avery was still awake. She couldn't sleep because of all the snoring. She grabbed a flashlight and walked outside. She came to another cabin called Mr. Slippy Cabin. She overheard some whispers and tiptoed a little closer to listen in.
"Water balloons,"
she heard someone say.
"Makeup,"
another person whispered.
"Oh, and smelly cheese,"
someone else said, followed by lots of giggles. Avery thought to herself,
"They must be planning some pranks. Camp Director Ryan said to be on our best behavior. They should know what the camp director says is law. I have to tell the others."
She heard one last whisper from inside the cabin.
"I think I need to go to the bathroom."
This time, Avery giggled and ran back to her cabin, shut off her flashlight, and tucked herself into her bunk for the night. The next morning, Avery woke up and told her friends about the plan she had overheard the night before.
"They were talking about smelly cheese,"
said Avery.
"And water balloons, fights, and makeup," asked Michael.
"Yeah,"
answered Avery.
"I think we should try to stop them. The camp director needs our help."
"But what are we going to do?" asked Jesse.
We will make a defense plan,"
Avery said.
"What's a defense plan?"
asked Skylar.
"It's a way that we can stop their pranks from causing damage," said Michael. "That's a great idea, Avery."
A few hours later, they headed to the dining hall for lunch.
On the way, they made their special defense plan, which was good because they were going to need it sooner than they thought. Lunch that day was the biggest lunch they had ever seen. There was spaghetti, mac and cheese, hop and john, which is amazing rice and beans, tuna sandwiches, toast, salad, and ice cream cakes for dessert. They needed such a big lunch because today was lake day. At the lake, which was still filled with lily pads, the campers from Mr. Slippy Cabin were gathered in a tight circle, holding on to something small, round, and colorful.
Water balloons!
They all shouted. Then, falling from the sky, came four water balloons headed straight for Avery, Skylar, Michael, and Jesse.
Towels up!
Yelled Avery. They stretched their towels overhead and caught the water balloons on them. The water balloons bounced but did not break on the soft surface of the towels. The Mr. Slippy Cabin campers groaned over their failed prank.
Aww.
That night, when the moon was high in the sky again, Avery, Skylar, Michael, and Jesse set up four banana peels outside their cabin door. They turned off their lights and climbed up into their beds and waited to see if anything would happen. It was pretty dark when the four Mr. Slippies sneaked over to the Yohio cabin with flashlights and makeup bags. They were going to put makeup all over the sleeping campers to make them all look like Camp Director Ryan Weirdo. The four pranksters forgot to shine their flashlights on the ground, however, and just as they were about to open the cabin door, they all slipped and their makeup bags and flashlights went flying into the air. The makeup lids fell off and the makeup spilled everywhere, including right onto the faces of the Mr. Slippies. Avery, Skylar, Michael, and Jesse watched the whole thing from their cabin window and giggled as the pranksters stumbled back into their own cabin for the night, looking quite a bit like monsters in the woods. The next day, the campers in the Mr. Slippy cabin were very tired, and their faces were covered in makeup, but they hadn't given up yet. They had one more prank up their sleeve. This one was for the whole camp. It was zipline day. After breakfast, everyone went to the zipline cabin to get suited up for their sky ride adventure across the campground. From up on the ropes, they'd be able to see lakes, rivers, mountains, and may even be as high as the flying birds. Everyone was excited. Meanwhile, one of the campers from the Mr. Slippy cabin stayed behind to set up their grand prank. He walked into the dining hall and met one of the cooks giving out blue cheese and crackers. "I'll have some pieces of that blue cheese, please," he said gruffly to the cook. The cook cheerfully replied,
"Sure, I can give you some blue cheese. You should get back to the group."
Before he left the dining hall, however, he slipped the blue cheese inside the dining hall's air conditioner. Then he returned to the group and joined the others in the zip line adventure. It didn't feel long before it was dinner time. The campers were excited because they knew the counselors would be arriving any time now. As they sat down at their tables in the dining hall, they smelled a horrible smell. It smelled like rotten blue cheese.
Yuck!
Gross.
Disgusting!
Horrible,
said all the campers. No one could eat their food because they had lost their appetites. Even the Mr. Slippy pranksters were hating the smell. They stood up slowly. "It was us," said one.
"We did it,"
said another. "We are sorry. We wanted to do these pranks and thought it was the perfect time since the counselors were away," said a third.
"It was the worst idea ever,"
said the fourth.
We're sorry,
they all said together. Avery looked at the pranksters and said,
"That's okay. You definitely made it a very memorable summer. Now let's get this smell out of here."
Michael, who actually loved blue cheese, ran to the air conditioner and fished it all out. The smell began to go away. Right then there was a beep beep outside the dining hall doors. One of the campers yelled out,
"It's the counselors!"
Yay!
They all shouted. In the door walked the counselors. They stopped quickly, though, and began to sniff the air.
"What is that awful smell?"
they asked. The campers giggled.
Avery, Michael, Skylar, and Jesse linked arms with the Mr. Slippy pranksters.
Oh, it's, just Camp Director Ryan's stinky feet. It'll go away soon,
Avery said. Then she winked at her friends. The campers chuckled and sat down to eat their dinner. The rest of the summer was a lot of fun, and the counselors never heard the true story of the stinky smell from the prank war at the summer camp. The end. And that was our last book for today. That was The Prank War at Camp Firewood, written by Cammy, who is a homeschool student. And we have that book here at the library if you want to borrow it. If you want your books read in one of our upcoming podcasts this summer, please send those in. Look at the information in the web post. We hope that you'll join us again for another one of our Imagine Your Story podcasts soon. This is Miss Vanessa saying thank you. And we also have Miss Beth here.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope to talk to you again soon.